What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast, where we talk about all things horror, movies, music, television shows, and in this case, per usual, we're talking about podcasts today because podcasters are really easy to talk to because that's what they do. They talk for a living. So, but I do have my usual suspect here, Mr. Zachary Smith.
What's up?
And of course, joining us again, our dear, dear friend, Mr. Vinny Prisco.
What's up?
Awesome. And today we have Heath Lambert of the That's So Random movie podcast. Welcome to the Nightmares Podcast. What's going on?
Gentlemen, how are you?
We are alive. We had a little bit of a technical issues this morning. So, hey, if you'd be so kind to introduce yourself and kind of explain what you're all about.
Yeah, I'm Heath Lambert. My show is That's a Random, a Random Movie podcast. It's not entirely horror movies, just so a heads up for people. But my movie to talk about every episode is chosen completely at random from everything streaming. So I don't know what I'm going to get until the end of the, like, I get to the end of the episode, I press the magic button and find out what next episode's movie is going to be. So it's not always horror. But I'd say 75 to 80% of the time it is horror, if only because numbers are on my side, because there's 45,000 horror movies on Tubi alone. And that's, you know, so the algorithm's probably going to, you know, so I've been pretty lucky to get mostly horror, not entirely, but mostly horror movies. Yeah. But also a lot of movies no one on earth has ever heard of, which is a double-edged sword. It's probably impacted the potential popularity of my show, but also I it's nice to know that I'm the only podcast who has ever talked about this movie. So there's something kind of cool about that.
That is awesome. And trust me, there's actually movies that we've brought up that we joke and we're like we're gonna bring this movie to relevancy just by us talking about it. We had a movie called Teacher's Day, which was quite the romp. It was like the worst. Just a very quick synopsis. It was the worst version of a sleepover horror movie with a bunch of girls, minus any kind of significant nudity, which is normally the saving grace of those movies.
Bummer.
And it turns out at the end of it that it was the boyfriend, shocker, and also this was actually a publicity stunt to further his rap career about rapping about fruit. And then at the end of the movie, he started rapping about a banana.
Weirdest movie we've ever seen in our lives.
Where is this movie?
So we used to have a bloody elephant party to celebrate everybody that helped us that year and work with us. And we went to the horror cons, and they have like those resale tables, and they have like $2 bins. And I just grabbed a random DVD, and that's what I grabbed.
Oh, wow.
And I know that it was all the guys in one room and all the ladies went into the kitchen because I didn't want to watch it. And I asked my fiance, I'm like, hey, did you hear us? And she's like, oh, I know what the whole movie's about. Because I could hear all of your commentary about what the fuck was going on in that particular movie. So, yeah, we dealt with that movie. That was an interesting one.
That's pretty random. Yeah,
it was extremely random. I'm sure Zach still remembers it.
Yeah, I'm not forgetting that movie anytime soon.
Like Veronica. That was Danzig from the Misfits directorial.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I saw it. Out of sheer curiosity, I had to at the very least.
I know, right? It's like when they say,
I've actually seen worse movies than that for the show, believe it or not, but
I believe it. I absolutely believe it. You got quite the catalog. So typically when we have these podcasts, we always start out with one question, which is, when did horror enter your life? And because you have a lot of, you know, horror movies on your repertoire for podcasting, I'm assuming that you're at least somewhat of a fan. So I'm curious about, when did horror enter your life?
Well, for sure. Well, I mean, I'm an 80s kid, so a big part of it, and I think almost any 80s kid will tell you this, you'll probably hear a similar story walking through the now non-existent video video store while your parents are figuring out what you're, because I was in a, I was raised in a not super strict but pretty strict Baptist household, and there were zero R-rated movies allowed in our house. It just was not going to happen. So I would imagine the first horror movie I ever saw was Jaws, because it's PG.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
But then walking through while your parents are busy figuring out what you're going to rent, sneaking off to the horror section and looking at all these VHS covers of things that they're never going to let you watch, you know, so don't even ask. So they just start to live in your head rent free, because they become these almost legendary things in your mind, because it's the thing you can't have, right? You're looking at it, it's like, what is that? Evil Dead 2?
Yeah.
What
the fuck is that? There's a skull on the front. Or like Slumber Party Massacre 2, I remember, which I've gotten to do an episode on the show on. There's a guy with a drill in his guitar, and what is happening? And you're like 6, 7, 8 years old. And then you go to school, and there's kids whose parents let them do whatever the fuck they want, who are talking about Freddy Krueger. And I'm like, oh, I want to know about Freddy Krueger. I saw this cardboard standee for Freddy 2 in the video store. What is that guy's deal? You know? So it becomes this sort of lucky or not, I guess, you know, some kids who had parents who just let them watch whatever. But I almost feel like it becomes more ingrained in you and more totemic when it's this thing you can't have. And for years, like the first R-rated and or horror movies I ever saw were Halloween 4 and 5, having never seen Halloween 1 or 2.
Oh boy.
Because we were staying in a hotel for a month when we moved while our house was getting ready. And my parents made the mistake of having my brother and I in we had like two hotel rooms separated by a door, and they would go to sleep at night. We never had cable before. So me and my brother would very quietly, when they went to sleep, turn on HBO and watch whatever was playing. And we saw a lot of shit we probably shouldn't have. That would have been like 12 years.
Nine
or 10. But we watched Halloween 4 and 5 back to back. And those were the first horror movies, really, other than Jaws, that I'd ever saw. And the first R-rated movies I ever saw. And that was like my head exploded. And that opened a whole new world where like, more, give me more. Put that in my veins. Because even having not seen Halloween 1 or 2, just from context clues, us two little kids were able to sit there in the dark and like put together like, okay, so Laurie Strode is this. I get it. And then 5 ends with that cliffhanger. And my little brother and I spent the next 2 days concocting what Halloween 6 surely would have to be when it comes out. And then years went by. And I'm telling you right now, the story that the two of us children came up with, so much better than what actual Halloween 6 was. So
yeah.
It's like that's usually how it goes, I feel. It's, even now, especially.
Absolutely. Like Halloween 6 is just, what the fuck was that?
I mean, Halloween 5 is a collective what the fuck just the same, man. It gets very weird. I call it the Halloween 3 hangover. Just things get very weird after the fact.
You know what's so funny is in Halloween 5, just a little fun fact, one of my professors in a acting program I was at NIU was in that movie as one of the sheriffs.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Stetson. Stanton.
Stanton Davis is the actor's name probably in it. But,
oh, wow.
But he was, it was one of maybe a couple movies he made it into, but
I met the man, and that's like the first thing that I was out of his mouth, or like the second or third.
Was it really?
Yeah, oh, yeah, dude, he was so proud of it.
I was in Halloween 5. pretty much.
And we're like, oh, okay, good for you.
That's too funny.
That's awesome. It sounds like you definitely went on to later journey. You know, how did it kind of transition into you being a teenager? And then did you start going and watching these movies on your own? And you know, and how did that work out later in life?
Well, yeah, once you're a teenager, and then you have a little, if you have a hookup at the video store, like I had sort of an older college age guy who, like, for some reason had become my buddy and let us rent whatever we want. Didn't tell our parents about it. So me and my buddies would have just about every weekend would have a sleepover where we would rent four, five, six movies, probably not get through them all in the night. In fact, the movie Waxwork, this is weird, we rented that movie probably 8 times and never thought to put it on the top of the stack of what we're going to watch tonight because there was always stuff we wanted to watch. So it was always at the bottom of the stack. I rented Waxwork, 7 or 8 times, never watched it until like 2 years ago. I finally watched that movie.
Oh, wow.
Because we just always didn't prioritize it in the stack of stuff we had rented. We'd rather watch Razorback. We'd rather watch Nightmare 3 again. We'd rather watch whatever. So it was just that movie was this weird blind spot for years. But yeah, it became, that was our weekly ritual, was we're going to rent. We had one buddy who would always rent like softcore porn, like,
of course,
bikini car wash shit.
Of course.
And it's like, okay, that's fine. Boobs. I like boobs. Right. That's fine.
It's almost as bad as me trying to rent strippers versus zombies thinking I was going to go find porn. And I did not. Me. I did not.
Well, but I'm trying to tell him, look, most of the horror movies you're renting also have boobs in them, but they also have a story and cool things. Like,
exactly.
Can we just do that instead of Bikini Car Wash 6 or Volleyball Girls 9 or even like, do you remember the Witchcraft series? There's like 15 of them now, but
Jesus.
Video Holy Store Days, it was like Witchcraft 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like these softcore porn, quote unquote, horror movies, which are most of them out there. A lot of them are on Tubi now, but
there's a lot of variety.
Dude, Vinny's a Tubi nut, man.
I've been finding so many of those kind of, not like those specifically, but the more unusual, some of the older horror films or just the oddball cult films. And I don't know, I gotta be honest, I've been finding more interesting stuff on Tubi than a lot of other streaming services.
Well, did you really like that the 70s like exploitation movies and shit,
yeah,
and everything else?
Yeah, you
so
can find a lot of them.
Heath, what were you gonna say about Tubi?
Oh, Tubi's a fucking treasure trove, man. Like, on one hand, it gets a little tiring because I've had runs on the show where I had a movie from Tubi 10, 11 episodes in a row just because there's so much stuff on it. So mathematically, my chances of randomly getting something from it. So it's nice to have I got an HBO Max this week, or I got something from Netflix, or I still haven't had a movie from Shudder yet, weirdly, but I suppose there's so little on Shudder that mathematically it will be hard to land on. But
yeah, that is a little strange.
Tubi, man, I get so much Tubi.
That's awesome. I always said that Tubi should change their advertisement and save. If you got rejected by Amazon Prime, come to Tubi.
Honestly, I think there's more quality on Tubi than Amazon Prime.
There probably is, like but it's amazing, like, you know what is on there and all the random stuff that you can find on Tubi. It's absolutely insane. And like I said, Vinny's like the massive like 70s exploitation fan, so you're gonna find nothing but on there.
Yeah, there were some of like the Euro, like the Italian ones. Like, you ever heard of the Lucio Fulci films? Zombie, sure. Zombie 2, Zombie 3. I came across like a couple, because I had several of his movies, but recently I was like curious, there was a Zombies 3 and 4. Now,
wow.
I don't know if he made those. That's the only part I'm confused of, but they were trying to follow that. And I found them on Amazon Prime with some other exploitation films, and they were all for pay. You had to, like, you know, they're all up there right now. It's like, oh, you can do this with a free trial for this service or that, but otherwise you got to pay. So I said, you know what? I bet there's a chance they're on Tubi. All of them were on Tubi. Like, there was at least 4 movies I was looking at.
Dude, what was that movie that we had to watch for like the foreign films that I watched and I fucking hated it? It was House. Was it called House by the Cemetery?
House by the Cemetery. You ever seen House by the Cemetery?
No, I'm aware of it. I have not watched.
I need to rewatch it.
I hated it so much. It was so boring.
To me, it's got a unique, there's something about it. It's got that unique, I don't know, it's got that unique exploitation Euro charm to it, but
charm is one way to put it. The charm. Some people say charm. I say boring. I was checking my phone every 2 seconds trying to watch it, but it was something. It was interesting. It was definitely interesting. I'm surprised nothing on Shudder though. That's surprising. There's not, you know, something that hasn't come across your desk from Shudder.
Well, it's all. I mean, because the thing. Let me both answer that and help out Vinny and anybody else listening who doesn't know about this wonderful thing.
Yeah.
My show is powered by There's a website and an app called Real Good, R-E-E-L-G-O-O-D. It has two purposes. First off, you can put in the title of anything, and it'll search and find out where it's streaming for. So if you're wondering where you can find such and such, you can type and put it in, and it will tell you, oh, it's on Tubi. Oh, it's not streaming anywhere. Oh, it's on Netflix. So that's very helpful. The other thing it has is called Real Good Roulette, which is what I use as the engine of my show, where you put in what streaming services you have, and then you push a button, and it picks something from those streaming services. So not only can you, it will help you find things you're looking for, but also if you don't know what you want to watch and you just want to watch something randomly, it will help you do that too. So anybody who doesn't know about Real Good, check that out, because that's what I use. And for Vinny, especially if you find such and such movie, figure out where it's at.
That's awesome. Thank you for
I love that. And it's crazy too, because I mean, it sounds like it's almost the internet equivalent to the old video store. When you used to just wander the aisles and find random stuff, you know. And I was going to ask you, being a child of the 80s, and you know, we're all children of the 90s, so we had similar experiences within Blockbuster and Hollywood Video. You know, if you were talking to the younger folk, these days that never stepped foot into a video store, you know, what do you think that they're missing out on? Because it sounds like that was a huge part of your upbringing, was walking around the video store and just imagining what these movies were all about.
I think part of it is you're missing out on, and again, maybe it's just because the way I was raised and the family that I had. I mean, God love them. I love my parents, but that sense of forbidden fruit, everything is available now. Mm. A kid of any age can get on the internet and look at porn now. That was not a fucking thing when I was a kid. You know, that's why when you found like a Playboy in the woods, you were like, oh my God, this is the best day of my life.
Why were they always in the woods? Why were they always in the woods? Like, every story I've heard about people get Playboys, they're always in the fucking... Was there some like fucking like weird Playboy Keebler elf that was living in the goddamn woods that like just dropped off Playboys there for all the young teenage boys to find? I never fucking understood why it was always in the woods.
Dude, that's a parody I would love to film. The Playboy elf just dropping random Playboys in the fucking woods, just like
I suspect it more that like, I can't keep this in my house, I have to hide this somewhere, so the woods behind the school, and then you forgot you left it there, or some other kid comes along and takes it. But like, kids can have access to anything. Like, you don't have to walk, well, you can't because they don't exist, but you don't have to walk down to the video store and put your card up there and put down your $3 or whatever to rent a VHS or a DVD, because everything's streaming now. That's like, I'm so sad that Netflix DVD is going away at the end of August, because there is so much stuff that I still want to watch that is not streaming.
Hold on a second. So what was that? Netflix is still doing DVDs?
They are, yeah.
I had no idea that they were doing that.
They are. I never stopped. Because there's still movies I get from them, because you cannot find them anywhere else. There's no video stores. It's not streaming.
Right.
Wow. And I don't pirate shit. Right. So, but yeah, Netflix DVD is ceasing it to exist as of August 31st of this year. So I'm trying to burn through as much stuff as I can before they stop. But yeah, kids have that accessibility to things that we didn't have when I was a kid, or even when you guys were kids.
Yeah.
So the forbidden fruit sort of aspect of looking at a box film and going, what is this? How does this exist? My parents will never let me watch this. So that's part of it. And also, I think the other thing about video stores was that sense of discovery. Because even now, using some sort of, unless it's something completely random, like, algorithms are always leading you to the next thing. You get done watching some of Netflix, it's like, if you like that, you'll probably like this. So it's leading you down a path of similar things, right? Whereas at the video store, you could stumble across truly something random where you're like, what is that? That is apropos of nothing. Mm-hmm. It has nothing to do with, you know, there wasn't sort of that, the algorithmic bread trail of leading you from one thing to the next, you could truly find something. I mean, I guess you could scroll through Tubi now or whatever and find something unlike anything you've seen before. I'm sure that's possible, but yeah, I don't know. And also just the nature of, I'm a real physical media whore. Like, I still buy CDs because
they still make those.
A lot of bands don't. A lot of bands stop, and it makes me mad because here's the thing that kids don't understand. You could wake up tomorrow, maybe probably not tomorrow, but next week, 2 years from now, and Spotify could just go away.
Right.
Yep.
And then what? Then what? None of these things are necessarily permanent.
True.
A CD in my house, a DVD in my house, permanent.
Right.
Barring a house fire or something, you know? And I like being able to walk in the room and go, do I have Jaws 3? And I can look across the fucking room on a shelf. Oh, yeah, there it is. I have Jaws 3. You know, I don't have to look through a binder of burnt discs. I don't have to scroll through files I bought on Amazon, which, by the way, they can take away anytime they fucking feel like. Exactly. So don't get too attached. So I like physical media. And that there's a tactileness to being at the video store and actually picking up a box, a VHS box or a DVD case, and flipping it over, looking at the back and going, you know, reading a description. There's that. Just like I read real books. I sound like such an old man shouts at clouds, but there's something to be said for that tactile of like reading, holding an actual book in your hands and smelling it rather than reading something on a Kindle.
You know? Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And look, and I love streaming. Don't get me wrong. I have every streaming service there is, and it's made watching a lot of stuff easier. And but there's always going to be something about holding something in your hand.
I
was going to say, I 100% agree. You know, it's the same thing with video games, especially these days, because back in the day, mm-hmm. you used to be able to buy a video game full price and the game would work. It would have unlockable content and you wouldn't be met with all this microtransaction or pay for this bullshit versus now where you buy the game full price. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't fucking work. You're not buying a physical piece of media. You have to download everything. And at any point, they could just lock you out of your shit and just say, fuck you. It's ridiculous. And people just keep buying into it. And you go, why? Like, just why? It's so freaking annoying. I'll tell you this.
If you had been able to walk into a GameStop or wherever and pick up a copy of PT, Silent Hills, and walk out of the store with it, you would still have it.
Dude, I still have my PS4 with that burned in. I'm never...
Me
like,
too.
I'm never getting rid of it. I was like...
Nope.
God, that is... Pretty soon...
I will never sell it.
No, here, at the very least, I would say within the next, give or take, 5 years or so, it'll be uploaded, cataloged, and when emulation for PlayStation 4s gets better, we'll at least have somewhere to download it, put it on a hard drive, and just keep it archived forever. Because as much as I am a proponent of physical media, I am also a proponent of backing up all your data as much as you can. So all my PlayStation 1 and 2 games are uploaded onto a hard drive right now, backed up and cataloged, just in case something ever happens to my physical media. I have a backup of downloaded media. Can't do it with my PS3, 4, and... probably will never be able to do it with my PS5 stuff because, well, those games aren't fully on the disc anymore, and day one patches kind of... there's no reason to. The games never work out of the box anyway, so why fucking bother?
That's the editor in you, the of having backups. I got your backups for your backups for your backups. The
Backup everything.
If anyone was going to say something about physical media...
I was going to say, Heath, I can totally 100% agree with you on the idea of collecting the physical... media. And I experienced that with movies. I'm a massive DVD nut too. I live with one of these guys here, Mark, and he sees it all the time. But it's the same thing. And I'll admit, usually it's a movie that's kind of rare or unusual that I'll be buying on a DVD. But it's like what you said, especially with the Netflix DVD rental. I didn't actually even know actually, that that was going away until you mentioned it. So we actually just rented it's not rare, but it's one of the old classics, The Yearling, because we had never, my fiance and I wanted to see it. And, you know, it's not, that movie's not streaming anywhere or anything. So she's going to be really bummed when she hears that today that's going away. But there's a series that Warner Brothers, you probably heard of this, release called the Warner. Did you hear about the Warner Archive Collection DVDs you can buy by chance?
Yeah, that's like their classic catalog stuff, like Wizard of Oz. And
yeah, this is like they based
stuff like that.
Well, they basically took like all their print. They made like all their rare print movies for the first time available. They started this. I mean, it's been a little while. They started this 10 years ago, but they basically made a system where they will print a certain number, or you can literally order it by. They'll do it by order, and they'll basically just burn a copy off of the print to a disc, and you get it, but you get it in a nice case, you get it in with a nice cover sleeve art. Some of them,
that's cool,
some of them recently they've actually added bonus features, and they've done cleanups too. But these movies, 9 times out of 10, especially the real rare old ones, like I'm a nerd, like I like even the silent ones and some of the rare unusual things like that. It's like you said, they will some of them I can 100% say they'll never end up streaming. They will never end up streaming. You might, and Warner Brothers and Universal Studios like that, they have such a lockdown on YouTube. Most of the time, people can't even post movies like that. They get yanked. So,
oh, Warner Brothers is a hawk, man. I was left with Vinny. He's still he comes in like a roommate in 2003. He's like, it's like, dude, what? Here's what I picked up from this. It's like, have you ever seen this movie and this movie? All these physical copies. And here I am like scrolling through Netflix, hoping I find something. And he's like, just like, dude, like this is a really like independent movie from like 1970s, and like it's really lucky that I found it. I found it at Disc Replay. And I'm like, oh, those still exist.
No, I'm actually surprised about Disc Replay, because the thing I hate about Disc Replay is everything is so overpriced.
Yeah, they know it.
If I want to find like an older item, I will usually go to eBay and I will go to war just to get the lowest price possible. I'm like, you're fucking scalping me. Go fuck yourself. I'm not paying for that. No one is going to pay this price, motherfucker. Lower it and you will finally get it off your hands. That works about 50% of the time.
I'm not paying $20 for Chud 2 on DVD.
I would pay $100. No, I wouldn't.
No, you would not.
That's a joke. I'm not willing to abide by.
No, you would not. You know, it's crazy though. Like, if you try to explain a fucking like rental store process to a Gen Zer, they need to like have like a fucking Ambien and like take a nap. You had to go and get your card. You had to walk through it. You had to go and rent it, and then maybe you hope that rental that you wanted was actually in there and somebody didn't have it out for 4 years because they wouldn't care about the return fees, and then ultimately Blockbuster fucked themselves by getting rid of those and nobody was complaining about it in the first place. And then you'd have to, you know, go ahead and make sure you rewinded it, and then you'd have to return it into a Dropbox. Like people were like, "What? Mm-hmm. What are you doing,
Mark? You lost people at Rewind."
Yeah, that's true.
Dude, try explaining what a VHS is, and they just go.
It was a big.
You spin the thing. Wait, what?
It's not a reel to reel.
Yeah, right.
Just not explaining a fucking tape here. Jesus Christ.
Explaining a tape. And pressing a rewind button, because you actually had to rewind the physical film that was inside of this tape. It's like it was another world. Entirely another world.
Or even like. Even like a world before streaming, where like, no, you don't understand. If a show you wanted to watch was on at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night and you didn't record it on your VCR, it was gone forever.
Right.
You're never going to show it again. And this was before you'd even consider that, oh, they'll put out seasons of stuff on DVD probably, you know?
Right.
Or it'll be streaming one day. Like, that was not a thought. If you missed a thing, you were just never going to see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember waking up the morning that the first episode of the X-Men cartoon was supposed to air.
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting up super early because, like, if I fucking miss this. Because we were staying at my grandma's for some reason that weekend. And she didn't have a VCR. So I was like, this is terrible timing. I have to wake up and watch this, because if I don't watch it, I might never see it. You know, they might rerun it one day, but they might not.
And so God only knows when they'll rerun it, though. And God only knows when they'll rerun that. Like, that could be whatever.
I'm setting an alarm. I'm waking my whatever 13, 14 year old ass up, and I'm watching this show at 10 in the morning on a Saturday. Like, I'm not going to miss it.
That's
a reality we had to live with that doesn't really exist anymore.
Yeah, and I'm sure you were a little tired, but as soon as that theme song kicked in, you were jacked. You heard the and then that was it. Like, you just like, ah!
Yep.
That was it. That's all it is. Oftentimes, you know, obviously people are horror fans and they do this, but not everybody takes it into some kind of art form. So I'm curious, you know, when did podcasting start in your life? When did you start to, you said you were kind of bored during the pandemic, but, you know, a lot of people were bored during the pandemic and not everybody started a podcast. So I'm curious, you know, about how that kind of entered your life.
I've been listening to podcasts since the early days of like Kevin Smith and like, you know, people who are really kind of on the forefront of that. And I thought I have twins who are about to turn 20. And when they were like 6 or 7, I thought, you know what would be cool? I'm going to do a podcast that's like cultural exchange of generations, where every week I'm going to have them come on and explain something to me that I don't understand, like Pokemon. And I will show them, here, this is Jaws, you know, and we'll like, and that'll be the podcast. And then that never wound up happening. And then, during pandemic, because I'm a manager in a movie theater, so the movie theater was shut down, so I'm getting paid to sit on my ass at home and watch stuff, which is great and fun, but I felt like no creative anything, so it's like I need to do something creative. And then I'm gonna finally do a podcast. How do I differentiate my there's a gazillion and one movie podcasts. How do I make this stand out in any way whatsoever? Because there's great podcasts that do entire like directors' filmographies, blank check. There's, you know, very specific and niche. And I was like, well, what if I had no theme at all? What if I'm the one podcast that has, you can't predict what it's going to be next?
The Seinfeld of literally movie podcast. Be anything. The Seinfeld the movie podcast.
It could be a good movie. It could be a bad movie. It could be a horror movie. It could be a rom-com. It could be a TV movie starring Tiffany Amber Thiessen from 1995 that no one's ever heard of, you know? So that was sort of the impetus of like, well, that's what'll make it different. And it's been, like I said, it's been kind of a double-edged sword, because it's very hard to schedule for, because I can't tell people, hey, 3 weeks from now, I'm doing this movie. Do you want to come on and talk about it? Because I don't know until the end of each episode what next week's episode is going to be, which is a big part of why I was weekly till episode 100. Once I hit 100, I said, you know what? I love it, but it's taking, especially for something I don't get paid to do in any way, shape, or form. This is taking over my life in a way that is maybe not healthy. So now if it's every 2 or 3 weeks an episode comes out, that's fine. Don't hurt yourself over it. And it's going to make it way easier to schedule. It's going to make it easier on you. You know, so I eased off. But where was I going with any of this?
No, it was a good explanation.
It has led to talking about movies that no one has ever talked about before. I learned to shoot your shot, because what's the worst thing that can happen is someone says no. Okay. Like I've had directors on, I've had actors on, I've had, you know, and that only happened because I went, fuck it, I'm going to DM them. And if they tell me to eat shit, okay, I'll go about my day and find somebody else. Like, no big deal. Shoot your shot. As long as you're being polite, like, so, you know, I had Jeffrey Reddick, creator of Final Destination, on an episode. I had, you know, and that was just because I summoned up my courage and went, I'm just going to ask him, because fuck it, you know? So that is a lesson I learned as well that I probably didn't have before. the show? I'm really rambling now.
No. We were letting you go. I'm curious. As I've, listened to several different episodes about you, and the one that really caught my eye was Eddie's Million Dollar Cook-Off, because I grew up with Disney Channel original movies. I promise you,
I haven't researched this, but I'm pretty willing to promise you there is not another podcast on the planet Earth that has done an episode on Eddie's Million Dollar fucking Cook-Off.
Oh, not one that exists outside of somebody's imagination. Because I was actually going to start one at some point for reviewing all of Disney Channel original movies and talking about them.
Okay, see, maybe someone has done that. But like, for instance, I did a movie, again, thank God for Tubi, just giving me random shit. There was a movie called Point of Fear I did an episode on that is like the most micro-budget amateurish horror movie you ever saw. And I found the guy who made it. He's now like a children's author, but this is some bullshit he made back in the year 2000 and he barely remembers. He just made it with his friends, Evil Dead style, only not as good as Evil Dead. So I messaged that guy and I was like, hey, just a heads up, we're going to be doing an episode of my podcast on your movie Point of Fear. We're going to be making fun of it. Would you like to come join us? And he came on and made fun of his own movie with us, like that's to all. His face.
That was awesome. That's
because cool. he knows what it is. He knows it's something he did when he was young, and he's like over it. He doesn't care. He knows it's not good. But what was that a reference to?
Talking about podcasts. I am curious though. How did you start? When you were developing the podcast, did you always know that you wanted guests on? The reason I asked is because when we started this podcast, it was just topics about horror. And then we had one of our friends come on, and then we realized, oh, wait a minute, no, this is way better with guests on. So that kind of shaped our format. So I'm curious if you had that in design from the beginning, or did you kind of just start it with just yourself and then and kind of went from there?
Well, I figured just one person monologuing into a microphone is not compelling or interesting usually most times. So, yeah, I worked with what I had to work with. Another thing to note for people who did, thank you and God bless you, decide to start listening to the show. The first 35 episodes of my show don't sound great for two reasons. First off, I did not have real equipment and I had not learned how to edit yet. Because it was real DIY. I'm doing this from my house. I've never done this before. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So around about episode 35 or 36 is when I learned to edit, got real equipment, and it starts to sound like a real podcast. Some of the earlier episodes are rough to listen to, just be warned. But
I know.
Guest wise, I had whoever was available to me, which during lockdown is my fiance in my house. So the first couple episodes are just her. First episode, I got lucky. It was The Dark Crystal. And then the second episode is some movie called $2 Better. It's like some 40s gangster movie about the evils of horse track betting, which again, it's a movie no one has heard of or thought of since 1945 or whenever it came out. So, and then I figured out, then Zoom sort of came along. And so I could expand to like, oh, my brother lives in Florida, but I can have him on. He loves movies too.
Nice.
And then it was reaching out to people on Twitter. Of like, hey, we're the same kind of vibe. We're buddies on here. Do you want to come on and talk about, And that has really been a blessing as well, because there's people that I kind of only knew from Twitter who, from coming on the podcast 3, 4, or 5 times, are like legitimately friends of mine that I've never met in person. That's been cool. And then Slasher came along and opened up a whole nother bag, because a lot of times, like, I have to ask people when I'm going to do an episode, okay, what streaming services do you have, so I know what homework I can give you? And how many people did I come across who had Shudder? Not a lot. But then Slasher comes along. What a godsend. I had Damon. You guys have as well, I think.
Damon. We're hanging out with him today.
I'm having him on again soon.
Nice.
Next week, actually. Great dude. Who's created a really great app, a really great community. And that opened up a whole lot of doors. The number of people, I mean, yourselves included, obviously, that's how we connected, that I've been able to get on the show, meeting through Slasher, great people who I know, and again, Shudder hasn't come up, but I know that, like, this person knows horror movies on too. This, like, these are people who are, will know horror stuff and be knowledgeable about it and want to talk about it in a way that a quote unquote normie that I know might not. So yeah, Slasher's been a huge godsend. Zoom has been a huge, you know.
And actually, you've had some, you've had another one of our friends
out of his bedroom.
You've had another one of our friends on there as well, Corey Clark, aka Poltergeist OD, on the podcast, I believe. The did I see that?
I had
I thought I saw him too.
Yeah, I had him and his fiance on.
The he's a lot of fun, isn't he?
couple months ago.
Yeah,
he's cool.
The
No, sorry, go on.
No.
I'm not sure if I even answered your question.
No, yeah, that's okay. They oftentimes I forget the question. When it comes to guests, I'm very curious. You know, what have been some of your most interesting guests?
Jeffrey Reddick was a big one, just because he was the first kind of name person that I had the balls to reach out to, and then he was such a fucking sweetheart of a human being. Who, I mean, we even have a technical and logistical problems this morning. My first time having, like, this is like kind of a celebrity, like, certainly in the horror community, this is a celebrity. I can't fuck this up. I have to be professional. And then when we were supposed to record, for the first time in the history of living in this house, my internet decided to go out.
Oh.
So I had to I had to message this man and say, I'm so fucking sorry. I cannot do a Zoom call with you right now. And he's like, no problem. That shit happens. We'll reschedule. Like, just a sweetheart of a fucking man, Jeffrey Reddick. Love him. And then I wound up, I got a movie called, shit, hang on. Keep the Change, which is this sweet little low budget kind of rom-com almost about autistic people, starring real people with autism. And I thought, this can't just be me and my brother on here cracking lies. Like, I need to have, so I reached out on Twitter to the actual sort of autistic community and said, I want to hear your voices. Somebody come on with me to talk about this movie. And that happened, and that was very cool. And I got, and one of those, Emily from that has been on my show 5 or 6 more times after that, because she was just like an amazing guest. And then I wound up, again, randomly but weirdly, got another sort of autism concerned movie, a documentary called The Reason I Jump, that's on Netflix. So I knew I was going to have those, her and some other, it's about nonverbal autistic children.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew, so I had her, who not only is autistic, but has an nonverbal autistic child. So that'll be a great guest. But that was another one where I reached out to, he's in England, but I reached out to the director of that movie and was like, hey, we're going to be on talking about it. And it's a nightmare to schedule because time zones are so fucked up overseas and stuff. But yeah, he came on. So I had autistic guests and the director of this movie and myself and the two autistic women were just like completely taking over the conversation and just talking to themselves about what life as an autistic woman with autistic children is like. And me and him just kind of sat back and let them go. And it was really beautiful and really interesting. And again, that's not horror stuff, but it was like, there's people who don't know this stuff, that this is what life day to day as an autistic person is like. So that's cool to be able to share that with people and let them hear stuff like that. And then one more, I've had just not too long ago, I had my first, because I've had directors on and writers and stuff, but I had my first actor on. I did a little, it's weird to say cancer comedy, but a cancer comedy called Ginger. And again, I just reached out to the actress who was in that and was like, I'm talking, you know, and she came on and talked about it. And that was really cool, getting a different perspective of like, what was it like performing this scene where they shave your head live on camera? Like, you know? So it's, yeah, I've had a, but mostly it's been just people I've met on slasher that are definitely my vibe are people I've met on Twitter who clearly love movies and don't seem like assholes, so we can have a conversation. You know,
I love it. I love it,
so
man.
That's
been the journey. And I know that we are always a massive fans of the horror community. We absolutely love them, and because they've been nothing but good to us. You know, somebody had a great quote about them that was a good friend of ours, Mar. She always said that the horror community is always the why not community. So when you ask people from any other community, you know, hey, come and be on our podcast, they're like, why? And then the horror community is always, why not? And they're more than willing to hop on and have a good time. So it's always great to hear about that. I did want to, because I know Vinny's.
I've had Mar on. She's great.
Oh, you've had Mar on? Oh, we love Mar.
Yeah, we did record three.
Oh,
rec three, depending on.
That actually makes sense. She's the crown jewel of the horror community in Spain. She's fucking awesome. Zach's actually on her team. He does freelance work for her. It's always a small, tight knit community. I know Vinny was perusing the list on the podcast. You know, was there any movies that caught your eye, Vinny?
Well, that's the thing I was gonna say. I think that what's cool about your podcast too is it's. You had one in particular that just took me back. I was like, oh, that's a movie I haven't thought about in a long time, was Vertical Limit.
Oh yeah, Vertical Limit.
I was like, cause this is going to sound weird, but that was like fifth grade for me a bit, or a chunk of fifth grade, because I don't know what it was. There was like some.
No, I get it.
That movie came out. And at that same time that movie came out, I had kind of gotten into, like, believe it or not, at that age, like, history's about, like, some of these, like, crazy climbs that happened on Everest or happened on the Eiger or happened on the K2 and things like that that had gone wrong. I think they had actually found, I don't know if you remember this, they had actually found one of the earliest climbers on Everest who went missing in the 1920s. They found him in 1999.
Wow.
Yeah. They dug him up. His name was George Mallory. And it was just, it was real intriguing. I think I had like a book about it. It was one of these like excavation books, but that movie came out and I had a friend in grade school who was all on about it. And we were like sitting there, we would draw a lot. So we were like drawing these characters from it and swinging from these mountain things, ridiculous stuff. But I finally rented it. And yeah, it was just kind of a hoot. You know, I don't know if I'd call it a grade A movie, but I don't think it's like particularly bad. I didn't think it was too bad. I'd have to rewatch it though. But
I have a funny thing though about movie.
It's dumb fun.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely dumb fun.
Yeah.
I have a funny thing about that movie. That movie made me very, very scared, not of mountains, but of nitroglycerin. I thought nitroglycerin would be far more of a problem in life than anything, because that movie makes you scared shitless of nitroglycerin.
That movie treats nitroglycerin like it's a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, 110%.
Don't let the sun touch it. It's like a gremlin. Like,
he soaks his shoe in, like, they drip like some of it on his shoe, and then they have to slowly remove the shoe, and they chuck it out, and it blows up.
That's right.
This movie's crazy. And also, too, is I was a big fan of the two Batmans growing up when I was 8 and I didn't know any better. And I was a massive fan of Chris O'Donnell. So it was fun to see him in not the Robin suit and see him in another movie. And he was like the lead. That was supposed to be his like forte into being more of a leading man that just did not work out too well. Nitroglycerin was like a big thing in that movie.
Well, and on that, so but anyway, yeah, and not nitroglycerin aside, it's the what's cool though is, so I noticed a few other episodes of just ones that, for one, it's like, oh, those are movies I haven't thought about in a long time. But I think what's cool about your show too is it also, when going on and listening to it, you've talked about some kind of just unique, unusual movies. There was one you were talking about that intrigued me. I was listening to called about Vamps. Is that the one with the British vampire film?
Oh yeah, Vamps is a pretty famous among the horror community.
British one is Eat Locals.
Oh wait, that's it. Okay, I got them. There was Vamps. Okay, Eat Locals. I'm glad I clarified that.
Yeah.
Because I was looking at both of them, and Yeah, I don't know. It's just interesting. But it's Sir, I feel like your show, it kind of opens up these doors, too, to just these unusual movies. And it's like, cool, I might go check that one out, actually. Hey, I'm going to come back. And I think a lot of people could get into it just coming back and being like, hey, what movie is he going to talk about this time? Hey, this one looks interesting. And listen to it and then go watch it. You know, it's kind of a neat.
I hope so. That would be cool.
It's kind of a neat door. It's kind of a neat, you know, way that you're kind of helping expose some of these unknown things, I think, too.
Which is fantastic. The more the better, introducing people into new movies, new genres. Yeah. And also, too, as people may who have not gone really deep into the horror community, you can really get deep into a lot of these movies that would have never normally not seen the light of day. I know Zach's a massive Hellraisers fan, so I saw Hellraisers 3 on there. I can't remember if you had opinions on that, Zach, or not, the Hellraiser 3.
It's fine.
That was a fun one because my twin sons had told me, like, we're going to start watching it. We're going to start a Hellraiser run. And they got through 1 and 2 and then kind of fell off it. And then I randomly got Hellraiser 3 for a full-length commentary episode, which I do every 25 episodes. So I thought, well, this will be perfect. I'll have them on. They have not seen Hellraiser 3 yet. They are not prepared. Based on watching 1 and 2, they are not prepared for what they're about to watch. No. So it'll be fun to have them live on mic, see it for the first time, and be like, what is this now? So that was a fun one.
The significant difference between 2 and 3 is like, what? How the fuck did we get here? But whatever.
Well, it's the Freddification of Pinhead, right? Like, Pinhead's our iconic character, but he doesn't really do much in the other two movies. Freddy's huge, so let's turn Pinhead as much as we can into Freddy kind of cracking wise and like, no, that's not what Pinhead's about.
That is such a great way to describe it, the Freddification. Beautiful.
And I love Freddy, but I don't need everyone to be Freddy.
No, absolutely not. Yeah. Wasn't Hellraiser 3 like very early 90s?
It was 90. Dead air as we all look at them.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone's just like, all right, who's going to find it first?
I did that episode not too long ago, but 92. So yeah.
92. Okay. So it's still close enough to the, it's very weird because it's like Freddy's been out for, I don't know how long now, since, I don't know, maybe, what was he, 81? Or, no, not 81, 84 or something like that was the first Nightmare movie. And then, you know, the first two Hellraiser movies were made throughout the course of the 80s. We don't get till the third one until 92 or whatever, which just said my memory is terrible. So to just do that dramatic shift, I don't know. I always thought that was weird.
And also, too, at the end of the day, Doug Bradley is not Robert Englund. Like, they're just so very, very different. And I don't think one should be the other, honestly. Like, it's a waste of space, and it's a waste of two very brilliant horror actors. And actually, just two brilliant actors, not even horror actors, but just two brilliant actors. And I think you're kind of wasting it. And, you know, I mean, but that is a phenomenon that happens, the Freddification. And then the other theory, of course, is they always end up in space. If a horror franchise goes on long enough, they always end up in space. It's going to happen.
How many have done that now?
That's a good question.
Jason, you got obviously. Jason, you got Pinhead, Leprechaun. Yeah, Freddy hasn't made it there. By the looks of things, he never will, thank God.
Yeah, that's probably going
to
happen.
Pinhead makes it to space?
Yeah, part 4.
Yeah, part 4.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't wait long.
No. They
took 4 movies. That's a lot quicker than most. What was Leprechaun 5?
Leprechaun was either 5 or 6. It was definitely up there. They can remember watching Leprechaun in the Hood and St. Patrick's
Day. I was watching that.
Fast and the Furious event made it to space too,
nine movies.
I love it how they're going on the horror path that eventually they become so ridiculous that they end up in space. Because there's nowhere else to go.
Well, you've heard what almost happened, right?
Fast and Furious. No, but I want to know.
Let this research this for one of your horror daily facts. Well, I guess maybe it's not that horror, but there was a plan in place for, I don't remember if it was 7 or 8 of the Fast and Furious movies, to be a crossover with, can you guess? Jurassic World. It was going to be Fast and Furious meets Jurassic World. Was going to be
what?
You know,
legitimately, they were planning it, and then someone went, "That's fucking dumb. Don't do that."
No, yeah. No, I disagree. Both of those movies separate, that's dumb. Put those two ridiculous movies together, and you actually have something so stupid and inconceivable that you're like, well, now I gotta see this.
So this is why this is why I miss 80s cocaine. Because if this was in the 80s, this shit would have happened. Some fucking producer would have done a fucking huge-ass Scarface line and would have been like... Fuck it, let's do it. That's why I missed the goddamn 80s. Because they would have had the balls to fucking do something as stupid as that, and it probably would have made a lot of money.
I have no desire because Jurassic World was very meh. What the hell was the second Jurassic World movie? The Dominion or whatever.
Dominion?
I don't know.
Whatever,
it took place
whatever.
In a mansion and it was boring as fuck. So I at that point I just lost interest.
It takes
and,
place in a mansion.
Yeah, well, the
that
does.
Movie.
Yeah. Go ahead.
That second Jurassic World movie is the only movie in my life I have ever walked out of.
Oh,
wow.
Damn. So it's that bad.
And I've watched some dumb shit. So let that tell you how fucking dumb that movie must be.
Yeah.
I've
only seen Jurassic World 1 so far.
Yeah, you're not missing
much. Like, Vinny, have you ever walked out of a movie?
That's perfect place to stop.
I don't think I ever have walked out of a movie.
I've
endured through some movies, but
I think the only if it was in the theaters, if I watched in the theaters, I would have walked out. But I ended up turning off was AVP2. I turned that off within 5 minutes. That was the worst CW drama bullshit. That happened in that first 5 minutes of that movie. I'm like, nope, done. I was literally like Peter and Family Guy, like done. And then I turned it off and walked away. It was absolute. Zach, have you ever walked out of a movie?
So it was both me, Marcus, and David. You know, because me and Marcus worked at the theater, we got free movies all the time. So we went. I don't know whose idea it was. I think it was probably Marcus, because this sounds like something he would do. He wanted to go see this movie, Personal Shopper, with that girl from Twilight. And we're sitting there, and we have no idea what the fuck is happening. Like, I don't know. We were there for a half hour. What's her name shows her tits, and we're just like, you know what? Do you guys want to go see Chips? We saw boobs. I highly doubt this is going to get anybody. And we're all like, fuck Chips. It. So we just literally walked out of the – because we weren't there. We could. I just walked into Chips and had a good time. That is the one and only time I've ever walked out of a movie. Because 90% of the time, if I pay for it, I'm stubborn. I'm like, no, I paid for this shit. I'm going to stick it out. I've never been so... There's a few times where I've been extremely mad, but I still stuck it out. But that is the one and only time that I personally have ever done it, and my other two buddies have. It just, God, that movie was fucking stupid. Made no goddamn sense. It might have been an A24 film. I have no idea.
It was an A24 film.
Okay, that explains it.
Yeah, it was an A24 film. Heath, have you ever, besides Jurassic World, have you ever walked out of another movie?
No, that's I believe that is the only one that I've straight up just thrown my hands up and gone, you know what, enough. Like, there comes a point in that movie where... Like, I have a threshold for stupid. I can handle a certain amount. Like, watching, like, Attack of the Clones in the theater, and I remember every 5 minutes something so fucking dumb in that movie happens that I would stop and look around the auditorium at everyone else and go, am I the only fucking person seeing this?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing. Like, Obi-Wan just got shot by the cannon on Slave One that blows up spaceships and he's fucking fine. But then later he gets a cut on his arm and passes out for 20 minutes. What the fuck is this? And no one notices but me. But I didn't walk out. I stuck it out because it's Star Wars. But no, the Jurassic World, the second Jurassic World, there comes a point where, spoilers for this bullshit movie.
Oh, I can't wait.
We find out that the little girl who's been running around the mansion is the first human clone. And I went, nope, fuck this. Because let me tell you something. If you as a corporation have cracked the code on human cloning, why are you still fucking around with dinosaurs? Right. Human cloning would be way more useful and way more lucrative and less dangerous than cloning T-Rexes and storing them in the basement and auctioning them off to weird oil barons from around the world, like,
and turning them into military weapons.
Fucking thing I've ever seen.
And turning them into military weapons that are operated by lasers. The literally.
You
okay,
cloned a human being. That's way better.
Dude, by the way, did anybody else get, like, I'm a huge Bond fan. I got some really, like, Roger Moore, like, bad villain from Bond kind of vibe from that. Like, it's like Moonraker level of bad, of like, plot of a villain. Like, we're going to take over the world with genetically altered dinosaurs that respond to lasers. But as soon as the laser breaks, they'll just kill you. That sounds like a really bad, like, that's almost Dr. Mm-hmm. Evil level of convoluted plots. We've gone way past here.
And then that third Jurassic World, it's finally about dinosaurs out in the world, which is what I've wanted since the second, you teased me with it at the end of the second Jurassic Park movie. Mm. But then that movie is all about giant bugs, and I'm like, no, what the fuck? I want dinosaurs running through cities. And you're not giving me that. They're fighting giant bugs. Why? Why?
They literally had one job, so and they fucked it up.
Dude, and I love it how, like, we all become, on, like, man. 6-year-olds there or 13-year-old girls. Like, I wanted dinosaurs! Why don't you have dinosaurs?
The concept was right there. It was easy. You just had to take it and do it. But nope, you had to complicate that shit and fuck it up. Because for some reason, the people in Hollywood have to overthink shit, look at all this algorithmic bullshit, and go, bugs.
Dude.
What?
We've arrived
here. The only Jurassic Park, Jurassic World movie I would be interested in going forward, and it's, I know it'll never happen because it's a family friendly franchise, but what it should be is a hard R, aliens style, like the Marines are called, the special forces of the Marines are called in because we cannot have this fucking dinosaur island sticking around. It keeps killing people. We're sending in the Marines and we're wiping all the dinosaurs. And it's, so it's like Marines versus dinosaurs for 2 hours. Super gory.
That'd be good.
That's the only Jurassic World I want to see going forward. Otherwise, you can keep it.
Dude, you hit the nail on the head with the biggest problem with that series is it's family friendly. You have ferocious carnivorous creatures, like the most dominant predators on the planet, and it's family friendly.
Well, what's so interesting about that too is that the novels, novel, like the Michael Crichton novels of Jurassic Park, at least, I don't know as much about the Lost World book that he did. I have them because a friend he gets books, he'll read them, and then he doesn't want to read them again. He just, like, even if he likes them, he wants to give them away. I don't know. So I've wound up with these books, but the Jurassic Park, the original novel, it's like an R-rated movie. It's very, it's pretty gruesome. Like, they dumbed it down a lot, even for the original film. So I've always wondered, like, could they do, like, a reboot or something more based on the novel or in the vein of the novels that has that edge?
Yeah, because
even the original Jurassic Park movie, and even mainly the original Jurassic Park movie, it was very soft core horror. It wasn't hardcore in your face, but there was some violent elements that you just
opening.
You don't even get anywhere near with the Jurassic World movies.
Yeah, opening, and also in the novel, the opening is a lot more gruesome because actually it starts out in the hospital. And you're seeing the aftermath of that dude. It's from the perspective of the hospital workers going, what the fuck happened to this dude? He's been eaten. They're like, what the? They didn't know how to treat his wounds because they were wounds from a prehistoric creature. And you're like, what the fuck are you doing? And it became very like government conspiracy, and like they would cover it up. Cool. And there was a lot more of, you really hate John Hammond a lot more in the book.
He's not a lovable grandpa.
He's a lot more of a scumbag in that. He's really like, it's really like cover up like type of thing. Like it's very like that's why I liked Anthony Hopkins so much in Westworld, because he was fucking insane. He was ruthless. And John Hammond is very ruthless in the novel. Like, he covers up a lot of things, and he still keeps a smile on his face. You know, no expense. You know, what was his line? The You know, spared no expense. The he spared a lot of fucking expenses. The you know, he basically did the phenomenon of car defects. The where a car company will look at defects for a car and go, the lawsuits from something bad happening will be less expensive than actually recalling all the cars. So they won't actually recall the cars, even though there's a safety issue, because it's the same thing. Except he's doing it with fucking dinosaurs. The so yeah, he's a lot more fucking ruthless in the book than he is in the actual movie. So I do agree that I think that we should definitely do some type of remake, because the Michael Crichton novel is actually really, really good. It's very detailed and it's very interesting to do that. He's really good at like fucked up theme parks. I wish he wrote more novels about fucked up theme parks besides Westworld and Jurassic Park. I think he might have done like one or two other ones, but that's kind of his like his MO is just, you know, how can theme parks be completely fucked? Let me show you. No, 110%.
If I can throw a highlight out at you, I think not horror, unfortunately, but an episode that I always, if somebody's starting a show and I'm like, you want to get the idea of what this show is about, vibe-wise, humor-wise, the one that I throw out as a highlight that I don't re-listen, once I've edited, I don't re-listen to my own stuff because I'm not an egomaniac like that, but the one episode I still go back to every couple months and listen to because it makes me laugh still. Episode 41, 7 days away. It's a little Christian movie that is, and just the banter we got going on that episode is really funny and really great. So I would throw that out as like a good starter episode for people just to get like an idea of the vibe of the show, even though that's not a horror one necessarily, but Christianity is a horror too, isn't it?
Especially the Old Testament. I definitely had kind of one last question, and then we'll move towards the question of the podcast where we wrap it up. What has been something that's surprising from you of a reaction from people from the podcast, listening to the podcast, like the fans and the people that are listening to it? What has been some of the feedback that you've been giving that's been kind of surprising?
I think the number one question I've ever gotten is there really a magic button that you press at the end of every episode to pick the next movie? And I'm like, well, not a literally, like, because for a while I kept mum on like, how am I doing that? I wasn't telling people like, oh, it's real good roulette. You can just, anybody can go do it. I felt like this weird proprietary, like, it's my secret. Like, but it wasn't a secret. Like, it was, I was being silly. But so eventually I was like, no, it's just this. Like, anybody can go do it. But that's the number one question I've had is like, no, but how do you do that though? How do you randomly pick a movie? Or people being like, you're full of shit. You're not randomly picking them. You're picking those. Like, you're, and I'm like, you think that I went out of my way to pick Marshall's Miracle, a movie, like some forgotten dog movie with Jessica, not Jessica Alba. Fuck, who was in it? I don't even remember now. But, or like, look through the movies and see how many of those. Look through the episodes I've done and see how many of that you've actually heard of and get back to me with some bullshit about how I'm not like I'm faking doing it random. Believe me, some of the stuff on there would not be on there if I was had my drug. The only one I've ever picked for myself was to celebrate episode 100. I said, I'm going to do my favorite movie. Fuck it. And we did a full commentary on The Crow.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. Nice. Love
it. Oh, my God. That's one of my favorites.
Otherwise, it has been random. It has not been up to me. I actually had a question for you guys.
I love it. Ask it.
Go around the round table. And I'll go too, just to put my, you know, we can all be in the hot seat together.
Absolutely.
What is your hottest, like, nuke level horror technique? Not a hot take that's going to get you like expunged from society as a whole, but that let's not go that hard, but something that within the horror community might lose you some viewers.
I can't top that question. So this will be the question of the podcast. Typically we always ask the question of the podcast where we end every episode, but I can't top it.
This is a good one.
We're going to go with
really
that.
Good one.
But as per
you
tradition,
to go first,
as per tradition, the guests do go first. The but if you would like, you can pass, but as a little bit of a pressure.
No, I'll go. I brought it up. I feel maybe I needed to get this off my chest.
Oh,
and I
can't
didn't
wait.
Realize it.
Go, you sir. Are at the floor is yours.
So here's my thing. And again, I guarantee you, I lose friends on Slasher for this because this is something that every single person on Slasher except me loves fanatically. I wonder if you can guess what it is. I don't give a shit about Joe Bob Briggs.
I don't
dislike the man. I have no issues with him personally. I'm just not interested in watching that drive-in show. I know people have nostalgia for him, even going back to like USA Up All Night and stuff, mm-hmm. Monster Vision and whatever. But I just, and maybe I just caught a bad one or a weird one, but I thought, I'm going to see what this is all about. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to watch this, you know, the Joe Bob Briggs things. I have Shudder finally. Let's do this. Everybody loves this. And so just as is my nature, kind of randomly, I had kind of a blind spot in my Stuart Gordon, because I like Stuart Gordon. I like a lot of his movies.
Sure.
I hadn't seen Castle Freak, weirdly. So I thought, I'll watch, this is what I'll do. I'll sit down and I'll watch the Joe Bob Briggs Castle Freak. So just that's the one I picked randomly to watch. And maybe that was a bad one to start. I don't know. But the first 15 minutes of this episode has nothing to do with Castle Freak. It's Joe Bob Briggs, like old man waving fist at clouds, complaining about how woke the Miss America pageant is now. And I'm like for 15 straight fucking minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck is this?
This has nothing to do with anything.
Can I watch Castle Freak, please? Like, this is not what I'm here for. So maybe they're not all like that. But that really left a bad taste in my mouth and put me on my back foot to where I was like, you know what? If I want to watch Castle Freak, I'll just watch Castle Freak and not be interrupted every 10 minutes to hear what this guy has to say. And that's a controversial take because the fanatical love that people, particularly on Slasher, have for that show. And God bless. Good for you. I'm glad, you know, it just did nothing for me. I'm sure I will revisit it at some point. Maybe I was just in a weird mood that day. I'll give it another shot at some point. Because that many people that I know and respect can't love a thing and be wrong. Like, I'm probably the one who's wrong, right?
No, but that's your opinion.
Yeah, as it stands, opinion, I just cannot be bothered to give a shit.
I think none of us are particularly not impressed or very indifferent about us because we're all Chicagoans and we grew up with Sven Gulli. So, like, we grew up with that concept, and I think there's some other people in this country that don't have that, like, didn't grow up with that, so they're just so enamored by that, how he does his show and, you know, what he does. But we grew up with Sven Gulli, so, like, we're like, this is just another version of that, and we're like, oh, okay, whatever.
Or even Vampira and Elvira from back in the day.
Yeah.
It's not,
I grew up in Kansas City, Missouri, where they had the local station there had Cremation Mortem, who was like an Elvira ripoff. That was a big
problem.
But look, and I respect the guy. I think he's obviously supremely knowledgeable about horror movies. Like, the guy knows what he's talking about. So no diss on him as a person, but just whatever it is, if it was the format of the show or that particular episode or that particular old man rant he went up on just really... Yeah,
just very
yucked my yum, and I didn't. I haven't gone back to it since. But
very strange.
I don't. Maybe in this room, that's not as hot a take as I thought it was.
No. But no,
I can't say that on Slasher because I'll get.
Well, this is gonna get posted to Slasher, so we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens.
I'm ready. I'm telling you, someone's gonna unfollow me.
It's not the worst thing in the world. Vinny, I know you had one in the pocket. So
all right, so this one I get crucified by certain people on Facebook or whatever, and I could see this. I think I don't know who here's seen it. Maybe you've seen it, Heath. I don't know. And if you like the movie, I'm sorry. If Pearson likes it, that's fine. But I think the movie Midsommar. Did you see that movie, Heath?
I have now seen all of Ari Aster's movies. Continue with what you're going to say.
Okay.
Because I have things to say about Ari Aster if you want to.
I think that movie is a absolute bullshit movie on multiple levels. Even personal levels, I gotta admit.
I don't think that's that hot of a take. I think that's kind of a 50. I think that's a pretty 50-50.
Okay.
But it's another one
that a lot of people hate it. A lot of people really love it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't think you're too crazy on that.
I think people though, you know, in our table, that's not as much of a hot take, but once it gets out to the public, it becomes very, very similar to yours. It's not big in this environment, but as soon as it gets out to the public, it becomes a huge fucking problem.
But see, that's one of those ones, whenever I say that, and if people ask why, you know, I'll get into it with no problem. But again, any movie in general, even if I don't like it, I'm like, hey, if you enjoy it, you enjoy it. It's just art. It's not really wrong or right. You know, it's so subjective, you know? Yes. So
I hear you. I know for a fact that Zach has several, but but we're definitely going to let him, give him an opportunity to give one of his hot takes.
What is it?
I mean, mine is simple. I think everybody knows it since I'm known as the angry one. I fucking hate A24. And that apparently stirs up all that fan base because they are willing to live and die by that letter and number. I think it's the worst company next to Disney when it comes to films. It's just nothing but pretentious garbage, especially when it comes to the horror movies. Like, it's the greatest, the scariest thing in the world. Nothing happens. Like, if you're going to scare me with boredom, then I guess you succeeded. But at the end of the day, I just, no, just screw A24. I've made this rant a billion times. That's my hot take. I don't know what else would be a hot take in the horror industry, because for the most part, I'm pretty easy to please. I get mad at the really bad CGI shark movies because I feel like they're just not trying anymore. But that's, you know, nobody really cares about that either. So,
That definitely stirred up some controversy. Zach had a whole thing where he explained why he doesn't like it, and we posted it to TikTok and YouTube, and man, did people have a lot of fucking things to say. They came out, because there's, by the way, there's no hashtag for hate A24. There's only A24 hashtags. So I invited all the supporters to that party, because I tagged it A24, and all these fucking people came in with a vicious blow. They were pissed. And mine is relatively simple, and it's a two-parter. Sleepaway Camp is a Friday the 13th ripoff, and The Burning is better than Friday the 13th, the original.
Oh.
that doesn't seem like a terribly hot, like, is it not obvious that Sleepaway Camp is a ripoff for 13th? Like,
I think the second one is a little bit more controversial, especially for some people at this table.
I liked The Burning.
I think The Burning is a much better movie than the original Friday the 13th by far. And Zach will very much disagree with me because he is a Friday the 13th absolute purist. So very much like the A24 fans, Zach is very defensive of the Friday the 13th series.
You like what you like, but you can be wrong.
I gotta be honest. I don't know if we have much time or a few minutes, but Heath, what are some of your takes on Ari Aster? I'm always just curious to hear different horror fans and film people's opinions on it.
Legitimately, the first time I saw Hereditary, I hated it. Hated it. And then somehow, I don't even remember how, I think maybe because my wife hadn't seen it yet or something, I watched it again. And the second time I was like, okay, hang on a second. There's something here. And I've grown to really like Hereditary. I liked Midsommar when I watched it as well. However, having now seen Beau Is Afraid, and I posted this on Slasher yesterday. Please God, Ari Aster, get laid, I beg of you.
Oh wow.
Oh my God.
Wow. What's happening, yeah, in Beau Is Afraid? Because I know a little, but it seems very they're kind of hiding
I mean, you talk about a blank check. The guy's had successful movies, so now he has been given a bunch of money to do a passion project, which is basically him vomiting his mommy issues onto screen for 3 hours. Go fuck yourself.
Or maybe have somebody fuck you.
How visually interesting some of the stuff is in the movie, Joaquin Phoenix is like legitimately horrible in this movie. Like his performance is bad.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You wouldn't think so, but it's a pretty garbage movie. And so I'm coming back around to the people who hate Ari Aster, because I like those other two. Where I'm starting to go, maybe they were right. Maybe they were right.
It all comes down to what you enjoy, you know.
But insufferable shit. Because I do like, there's A24 movies that I like. There's some that I don't.
Same.
What I appreciate about them is that, because I think a lot of people in the horror community are willing to settle, are willing to lower the bar, are willing to go, I just want horror so bad, I'll take whatever you fucking give me. And society at large always looks at horror as the redheaded stepchild that we don't need to talk about, you know, that has no legitimacy, blah, blah, blah. And what A24 is doing, whether you like the finished product or not, is at least attempting to inject some legitimacy into horror to people who maybe wouldn't ordinarily watch horror movies, go, well, that looks like it's trying to be art, right? Like there's nothing, look, I love the Freddy movies. There's nothing artful about the Freddy movies. You know what I mean? They're fun, but it's not high art. It's someone attempting to, and you call it, sometimes it is super pretentious, but they're at least attempting to go, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be rolling around in the mud. It can be art. It can be something. And whether that works for you as a viewer or not, obviously it does for some people it doesn't. But I appreciate the attempt at least to raise it. And I don't feel that it is down in the muck or belongs down in the muck, but to the general populace, a lot of the times horror movies are this lower class thing.
Yeah. Like they're
just A24 and Blumhouse to some extent, but not quite as much, is trying to lift it up and go, no, horror can be really good though. And can make you think and can have great performances and can be, God forbid, Oscar worthy, you know, like we're trying for it. Even if we don't succeed, like, if it's drawing eyes to horror from people who wouldn't ordinarily look at horror, I kind of can't be that mad about it.
I've always said that there are two types of horror movies that are a combination of the both, and you kind of just covered that, which is there's either the balls to the wall, let's blow some bodies up, let's slash, and let's have a lot of blood, let's have a lot of fun, and go from there. And then there's also horror movies that are trying to say something, and then there's a combination of the both. And I think that my issue with A24 at the end of the day is that there's better examples of having horror movies that have something to say and are more art for me without. I feel very alienated when I watch those movies. And I feel it's almost too pretentious for its own good, to the point where the movie is treating me like I'm an idiot. And I think that there are better examples of horror being considered into high art. In the past, like The Shining, I would even say Reanimator, other movies that are actually trying to say something, and then even more into the modern age, like Haunting of Hill House, and then also a lot of Jordan Peele's movies as well, other movies that were actually intelligent and trying to say something. I think that's my main issue with it, is that I understand that it's trying to elevate it to the general public, but it also is, in some cases, and this is my perspective on it, it's almost insulting the general public. It's going too far. It's saying, oh, look how much smarter we are than you. And that's where I think the elitist attitude I don't necessarily appreciate, because you can be intelligent without being elitist. And I think that's where most of A24 loses me, in its perspective of saying, oh, look how much smarter we are than you. It's all about metaphors, and don't you feel the metaphor? No, I actually want a fucking story rather than you dancing from metaphor to metaphor to metaphor. Which, by the way, it doesn't, you know, like, I almost feel like it's like that line from Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Like, when they're talking about the horror movie that she was in, he's like, it sounds like a metaphor for crap movie is what it sounds like.
Yeah.
And that's, I always feel very talked down to with a lot of A24s, to the point of annoyance. And I think that there are ways to say something very smart and very clever and very personable within horror without going to that extreme.
Also, you're going to want to avoid Bo is Afraid like the fucking plague.
Oh, I believe that.
Is Bo is is that a horror movie?
It's a metaphor.
Is it?
It's a horror. I mean, it's kind of a comedy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
it definitely has horror elements in it. It's being sort of presented as psychological horror mixed with comedy.
Okay.
But it's a metaphor sandwich with metaphor sauce on top. So you are.
I'm probably going to afford that like the plate.
And that's all it has going for it. It's literally, that's all it is. So.
And working out its mommy.
Save yourself 3 hours. You ain't going to like it.
So anyway, it didn't want to turn into, you know, a therapy session just like that one movie that you were discussing, the Woe Is My Beau. I didn't want it to turn it into that. So
Beau is afraid.
I already forgot the title, so that way I can stay away from it. You know, per Heath's advice. I think this is a great place to wrap up and kind of finish up. Heath, if you can look directly into the camera and tell the good people where they can find you on all your YouTubes and your Spotify's and your social medias.
I'm not on YouTube yet. I'm looking to expand into that. I probably should have done it a long time ago, but you can find a random movie podcast on Stitcher or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever it is you find podcasts. It's probably there. I am at HeathLambert78 on Twitter. The show is at ThatSoRandomP2. And then across a bunch of platforms, Slasher, Hive, Mastodon, TikTok, the show is some form or other of That's So Random, That's a Random Pod, or That's a Random Podcast. And check it out. Like, as it's again, not all horror, but a lot of horror. And I don't, if I make fun of a movie that you like, I apologize. I have some of it's for comedy and some of it's because, yeah, I have a very low bar or a very low tolerance for camp. Sometimes it has to hit like a real specific thing for me. So a lot of times movies that people that are campy that people love because they're campy, I'm like, no, that's too dumb for me. And that's an issue with me. So, you know, that might make you sad to listen to, but yeah, a lot of horror movie episodes and some other cool episodes that aren't horror and you should listen to them anyway. Like I did Lord of the Rings. I did Clue. I did lots of stuff.
Nice.
But check the show out. You don't have to listen to any ads. You'll never hear me beg about a Patreon. Like you can, it's free for all, always and forever to just listen to and enjoy. And remember that those first 35 episodes maybe don't sound so great. And the live episode that I just did also doesn't sound so great because I've never recorded a live show before in front of people and I didn't know what the fuck I was doing.
That's okay. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. We really appreciate it. Vinny, thank you so much for hanging out with us. And of course, you can find this podcast where all podcasts are available on Anchor, Spotify, I think Apple Music as well. We're on there. And also, if you are watching this on YouTube, if you'd be so awesome to stab that like button, smash that subscribe, and click that little dingy bell to be notified every time we drop amazing content right here on MHN. And you can check us out on all of our social medias on Facebook, YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and
Slasher.
That is the application for all things horror. Thank you so much, and we'll see you next time on the Nightmares Podcast. Bye, guys.